I'm Father Brian Daly. I have been at Notre Dame 16 years. I'm a New York Province Jesuit, and before that I taught at the Western Jesuit School of Theology, as it was then known, in Cambridge, Mass, for 18 years. So those are the two teaching jobs I've had since I finished studies. Well, I first learned completely through unofficial channels, I have to say. I was in Italy for a week at the end of July at a conference. And when I got back and came into the office here on Monday morning, right just before St. Ignatius Day, there were a number of messages of congratulations from friends who apparently had seen it on a Vatican blog that's put up by a guy named Sandro Magister. And he picks up leaks all the time, apparently, and is a fairly reliable news source, but is totally unofficial. I think he's a journalist for one of the Italian papers. And he put up the story that these Ratzinger Prizes this year were going to be given again, and that I was one of the people going to receive it. And I was totally flabbergasted. I had never heard anything about this. I don't know where they got my name. But I was obviously pleased and intrigued. And then found out about 10 days later from the secretary to the archbishop, who is the head of this foundation, that in fact this was true, that they're going to do it. But they wanted us then to wait in announcing it until the foundation itself had a press conference, which they just did today. Things in Italy shut down during August and early September, so nothing was happening there until this week. Well, I was completely amazed. I mean, I think of myself as somebody who kind of works away at what I do. My field of research and teaching is the theology of the Church Fathers, early Christianity. And, you know, I've done that for a long time now, but a lot of other people do too. So I had no idea that this was being singled out. So it's an important field to study for the sake of the wider church, helping us to understand how we've come to be the way we are. And as we know, one of the great influences on the Second Vatican Council was the rediscovery of the writings of early Christian theologians. And I think that what I do kind of fits in with the work of some of our great theologians from the 1950s and 60s who really brought these things to our attention. But I feel very privileged to be able to do this because it combines the ministry that we do as Jesuits, I mean, preaching and speaking to people about God in a way which speaks to them, you know, with my own academic background and the chance to teach. So I feel very happy about this as a kind of an honor for the society. It's something that we don't always get, and recognition of this positive kind. And I'm happy for Notre Dame too. It's a big thing for the department here. So in that way, it's a welcome piece of news. But, well, it was really when I was a student at Fordham. You know, I was an undergraduate at Fordham in the late 50s and early 60s. And I remember in my freshman year we had a theology course, as everybody did. And the professor, a Jesuit priest, Father Jim Hennessy, told us in the second semester that he wanted us to write a 20-page paper, a term paper. And we could do it on any subject that we wanted to, but, you know, we had to really do a research paper. So I was wondering, what am I going to do? You know, what will I write this on? And I went home one weekend to Jersey, where my family was, and my brother, at that time, was at St. Peter's College, and he said, you know, that they had been studying the Church Fathers in his theology course, and it was really interesting stuff. So I thought, I wonder what the Church Fathers are all about. So when I got back to Fordham that Sunday night, I went up to the library and poked around and looked through some handbooks, and I found the name of Clement of Alexandria, who's a Christian writer in the end of the second century, wrote a lot of stuff. And I found this kind of fascinating, and so I thought, hey, I'm going to do a paper on Clement of Alexandria. And I told this to the professor, Father Hennessy, and he said, have you ever read anything by Clement of Alexandria? And I said, no. And he said, well, okay, go ahead. So I did. And I had a lot of fun with it. I loved it. And I was kind of bitten by the bug, I guess. From that time on, I was really consumed by this desire to know more about early Christian theology and all its ins and outs and what they were doing. I got invited to join this Orthodox Catholic dialogue when I was teaching at Weston, just the second year I was there, in fact. And this is a gathering of Orthodox and Catholic theologians for North America, and we meet twice a year and try to talk about the various issues that have divided the Orthodox and Catholic churches through the centuries. And I found this increasingly really a fascinating kind of work. Through the years, we've put out agreed statements on various subjects, some of them pretty major issues and some of them minor things. And we meet together. We develop very deep friendships. So it's a wonderful group. I've learned a lot from it. But, you know, both the Orthodox and the Catholic churches draw on the same ancient origins, the same theologians from the 4th and 5th and 6th centuries. We began to move in different directions later on, but we still have this common background. So one of the ways that we build understanding between our two traditions is by going back to Christian origins and trying to see how a present practice and a present ideas kind of can be seen in that context. So it's been always kind of a challenge to me to kind of draw on what I study for a way of understanding the Orthodox better. And I've really gotten to be much enriched by that. I love these guys very much, and it's wonderful to be working with them. So I've been doing that since 1982, I think, and it's a great blessing to be in it. Yeah, I grew up in northern New Jersey in the suburbs of New York. My dad worked in New York most of his life. He was an engineer. And I went to the neighborhood school in East Orange, New Jersey, and then went to high school in St. Peter's Prep with a friend of mine who lived around the corner. And it was quite a trip. We had to travel about an hour and a half each way, an hour and a quarter anyway, by train and bus. But it was really worth it. I had a wonderful education there and learned Latin and Greek and kind of got started on all these old things, as well as a lot of contemporary ideas as well. And when I was a senior, I was thinking maybe I would like to enter the society, but I really couldn't make up my mind. I wasn't quite sure what you had to know that you had a religious vocation. So I ended up going to Fordham, and again, I loved it. I had a wonderful experience in Fordham. I lived there on campus for 4 years and was involved in all kinds of different things, majored in classics again. And at the end of my time there, I was thinking again, well, maybe I should be a Jesuit. I don't know. And then I got this scholarship to go to Oxford. And so that kind of preempted the choice. I went over to Oxford for 3 years. I studied again over there and had a fantastic experience being in Europe, getting involved in all the cultural and athletic things in Oxford, and did classics and philosophy over there. And then in my last year there, again, I'm thinking, what am I going to do with my life? You know, should I go to law school or graduate school or what? And it just became clear to me that I wasn't sure what the will of God was for me. I mean, we don't really have a revelation on that. But I did know that what I really was most interested in, what I desired more intensely, I guess, than anything else, was to be part of the Jesuit community and the Jesuit work. I had a lot of Jesuit friends, and I really cared about places like Fordham. So I thought, at least I have to give this a try. And if it doesn't work, then I can leave. But I have to at least, you know, apply and try this out. And I entered the society about a month after I got home. And it's been a wonderful blessing ever since. I never wanted to do anything else. I found myself tremendously supported and stimulated and blessed by being in this community, the society. So it's been the right choice for me. Well, I do all kinds of different things, and I'm teaching here both graduate and undergraduate courses, mainly on the early church. But I guess one of the big foci of my work has been Christology in the first 7 or 8 centuries, you know, the understanding of the person of Christ as that develops in the early church. So I'm just about finished with a book on that, which I've been working on for several years, which is kind of a general survey of early Christology. And I hope to finish that when I have a little time and edit it and get it off. I've also just completed a set of translations of early Christian homilies and medieval homilies on the Transfiguration of Jesus, an episode in the Gospels. And I've got 23 homilies in this collection, which St. Vladimir's Press is going to bring out. And those were really fun to do. They're very beautiful and really interesting. But it's part, again, of the understanding of the person of Christ in the early church. So there's a couple of things I'm working on. I'm working on a theologian from the 6th century whom I did my thesis on, too. I'm doing an edition of his work. Maybe the most important thing is to have a regular experience of prayer and of learning to experience the life of the church and the riches of the church's liturgy and tradition, and also to get involved in some kind of ministry. I mean, I was tremendously helped, I know, when I was at Fordham by being a part of the Fordham College Sodality, which was kind of an earlier version of the CLC. And that really taught me a lot about prayer and about apostolic ministry. But then after that, the main thing is, with the help of a spiritual director, if possible, to think about where you find peace and joy most solidly and most constantly in your life. What are the things that really give you a sense of rootedness and groundedness? Where can you find God drawing you into His presence? And I think that's a very personal individual thing in many ways, but it comes from a person's experience of prayer, and it can't be rushed, but it's something that has to be taken seriously. But as I always say to guys here who are interested in vocations, you should know that it's not a dumb thing to think about. You know, it isn't for everybody, and there's a vocation to marriage, just a vocation to religious life. But if you feel drawn or attracted by this, it's something that really can be very blessed and full of joy and a very fruitful way of living out our human life. So I just encourage people at least to think about it and talk about it with somebody. One thing is that I admire the present Pope a lot as a great theologian and also as a great leader for the church, and I'm especially honored to be associated with him in this prize, which it seeks out people who do theology in a way that he's interested in doing it, and I'm happy to be associated with him that way. The other thing is this, I'm always so grateful to the Society and to superiors throughout the years for encouraging me and giving me the chance to do what I find joy and grace in, you know. When you join something like the Society, you're opening yourself to doing a lot of different things. And I realize that I could have been occupied doing many things that might be less fruitful for me or less peaceful for me. But I've been able to do what I really love doing over the years, to be a priest and to be a scholar and to teach in wonderful institutions. And I'm really grateful to superiors for letting me do that, which they have done. So that's just two thoughts that come to me at this point.